I think it's feasible, but the question is, will the five permanent members who are there currently want to give up their power? So it's feasible, but not practical. I also say that in regards to Africa, 55 countries, and between them, they haven't decided, even if you're to have those two permanent seats, what country is going to get them? Will it be Nigeria or Egypt? Will it be South Africa or Kenya? Will it be Algeria or Tunisia? How do you distribute those seats? And then another question also is, if the Security Council then is democratized, in other words, you add more seats and you give Africa more seats, then the broader question is, what kind of powers will these new permanent seats have? Will they have veto powers? And, how will they be distributed? Because right now there's an odd number of seats. So if Africa is given two seats, Asia will also need to be given more seats, Latin America, and probably the Europeans will want more seats. So it's a very good debate. It's an important debate to have. I'm not sure that the permanent members of the Security Council will be willing to give up their power right now and expand the number of permanent seats on the Security Council.
But the upcoming UN Summit of the Future and the annual General Assembly gathering of presidents, prime ministers, and monarchs next month are supporting the latest draft of the summit's potential Pact for the Future, term Security Council reform a priority, and pledges an ambitious result with specific language still to come. What's your take on that?
A lot of this language seems very repetitive because we've had a lot of these things being said in the past about Security Council reform, about the future of the UN. But I think the important part of a lot of these conferences is to continue to have these debates. Rome was not built in a day. So even if Africa doesn't get those two permanent seats tomorrow, at least the questions are being raised. I think there's a broader question, even if it's not implemented in practice, to give these regions of the Global South power on the Security Council. I think it raises a normative and a moral question about global norms and reforming the Security Council to be reflective of the realities of the world in 2024, because currently, Security Council is reflective of the world in 1945. Russia and China are trying to create an alternative model to the neoliberal democratic order of the US and the West. So will China and Russia push for these reforms? I think this is why these debates are important to continue to have.
But the African continent has the world's fastest growing population now at 1.3 billion. The continent's 54 countries make up 28% of the UN member states, and five of the UN's 11 current peacekeeping operations are in Africa. Namibia's Foreign Minister, Faia Moshilingha, told the Council on Monday that the permanent seats, in particular, must be urgently addressed.
These are important conversations to have, but we need to remember that those are seats on the rotating non-permanent seats in the Security Council. And then obviously a majority of those seats are in the General Assembly, which its resolutions are not binding and they have no effect when any one of the five permanent members vetoes the resolution. So the Namibian official is raising very fundamental questions about global order and global justice. Is it really fair to have one third of the world, almost one third of the world coming from Africa with the highest demographic increases? By 2050, the population's probably going to double. Is it right not to have this population have a voice on the Security Council, a permanent seat? Africa would be able to push its agenda more aggressively forward if the African Union can have more collaboration and cooperation with other regional bodies of the Global South that have common interests for these countries which are excluded in the Security Council.